going to talk about disciples once again, the character of a disciple. And I started out, when I first thought, well, this is what I wanted to talk about, I was going to talk about growth and success. Then I thought, well, you know, I think I'm going to talk about success first, because if you get people enticed in this success thing, then helping them to understand that they need to grow will be easier. So I thought, well, we're going to have to talk about growth sometime else, because you probably wouldn't appreciate staying here to hear the whole thing. So we'll break it up into two different ones. So I want to, just this morning, we're going to talk about success, the success of a disciple. There, you know, if you've gone to the bookstore, Borders Books, you can find tons of personal success, personal growth kind of books and business and things like that. There's tons of them everywhere, tapes. I was down at the place that rents books on tapes. Their wall is lined with them. They have more success books on tape than any other books in the place. When you look at these books, you'll find that some books say, here's the things you need to do in order to be successful. And so you go down this checklist and you check things off, and by the time you get down to number 10 or 12 or 25 or 50 or 60, whatever it is, boom, you're successful. Just like that. There's attitudes they talk about as far as being successful, how to have the proper attitude. Then, you know, the books about habits. There's at least 7 good habits of some successful people. Have you seen the books? And so what they want to do with these books is try to help you to understand what needs to change in your life so that you can become financially successful or successful in business and those kinds of things. Well, the dictionary defines success this way. It is a favorable termination of a venture, a degree of prospering. A favorable termination of a venture. Something's over and it turned out good. And so that was a success. Well, we can look at this a couple of different ways. We can look at success from the world's standpoint, what the world says is successful, or we can look at it from a spiritual standpoint. What does God say makes us successful? Well, I think we'd all pretty much agree that if we took a test, just wrote these things down on a paper, most of us would agree, but we understand what the world terms as success. Now, if I say something that you don't agree with, raise your hand. Or if I don't mention one that you're thinking of, raise your hand. But the world's definition of success falls around how much fame do you have? How famous are you? Is your name a household word? Well, you know, a name like Chuck Jones, most everybody knows that name. So, and I get these looks from people out here, especially, they say, what's your name? I tell them, my name's Chuck Jones. And they go, oh, uh-huh. You don't look like him. But fame is one of the ways the world defines success. Another way is wealth. How much money do you have? How much money do you give away? How much money have you made? How much money do you control? Ah, the more the better. The more money, the more success. There's power, like in political power. How much power does an individual wield determines if they've been a success. In Congress, city government, church government, any of those kinds of places. Possessions, another way the world defines success. How many toys do you have? Remember the bumper sticker that said the boy with the most toys wins? Well, that's the way the world defines it. You have all the latest and greatest, the fastest, and the shiniest. That's how the world defines success, I believe. Simply put, how famous are you? How wealthy are you? How much power do you have? How much stuff do you own? Well, in the spiritual realm of things, Would anybody want to venture a guess on how God determines success? Anybody want to? Fruit. Okay. That's one good guess. Any others? Oh, the silence is deafening. Fruit is a good one-word answer, actually. But being successful, I think, in my mind, what comes to mind first, this is a success. To hear Jesus Christ say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That would be a success. That would be worth everything we have to put up with now, in my book, in my way of thinking. I mean, each of us may have a different idea about it. But to hear Jesus say, "Well done, you did a good job. I'm glad of what you did." To hear Jesus say that, while he looks you in the eye. And then you remember all those times that you weren't, I wasn't quite as faithful or fruitful as I could have been. He knows that. That's a long-term success. A short-term success is, I think, simply this. Not the fame, not the money, not the powers, not the possessions. It's this little thing which brings about fruitfulness. It's being faithful. That is success, spiritually speaking. Let's look there at 1 Corinthians that David read for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6 through 15, anyway. I just want to point out a couple of things here. Verse 6, Paul says, "I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I had a little bit to do, Apollos had a little bit to do, but God's the one that brought this all about. Plant a tomato plant. I put the seed in the ground, you water it. Somebody else pulls the weeds, but who brings the tomatoes about? God does. There's no amount, I don't think you can go out there and like squeeze that plant to get it to push tomatoes out. I don't think you can do that. There's nothing you can do. You put the seed in the ground, you water it, you pull the weeds, you water it, you keep watering, and the tomatoes come by themselves. God brings it about. Our success as a disciple in fulfilling the mission that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, carrying out that great commission, our success is not measured in the increase. That's God's business. The increase is not mine to brag about. I've brought 10,000 or 100,000. Our success is found in our faithfulness to that mission. Is this mission that Jesus gave us the thing that I'm faithful in? Because if I'm looking for this great number, I'm looking for some glory myself. Look what I have done. See? The difference is between a successfully executed mission, I think, and other missions is not a lack of strength, ability, or knowledge. Just because it looks like one person can execute their mission successfully doesn't mean that they have more knowledge or strength or ability than you do. What I think it is just a lack of will and discipline. That's all. You see, because there is no one here. Does everybody have a Bible? Yeah. Your Bible is no different than my Bible. There's nothing different in mine than there is in yours. Yours, mine, they're all the same. We all have the same knowledge. We all have access to the same knowledge. God has given us His Spirit, which is no different in me than it is in anybody else. The difference comes when we are disciplined and our desire is to fulfill the mission that Jesus Christ has given us. God gives strength and knowledge. The discipline is on our side. That's what we have to take care of. By being determined to do what Christ has set before us, by being determined to do what Christ has set before us, that's how it's carried out. It isn't carried out because we want to and sit back and think, like the proverb says, the lazy man is killed by his desires because he just sets and wants. Oh, I wish I could do that. I wish I had that. The diligent, the one who gets busy, he's made fat. You see, he's satisfied. So what all we need to do is be determined to do what Christ has set before us to do, and that's how it's carried out. So God has equipped us. I believe that God has equipped us. And so the question would be, are you using His equipment to do His work? Like mowing the grass. The church has supplied the lawnmower, the gas, and the grass to mow. All I have to do is use the equipment that's been supplied to do the task that's been put before me. Why not? I mean, is there any excuse? I don't have a lawnmower. I don't have gas. No, that's been taken care of. You see, that's the way God has equipped us. He hasn't said to any of us, I want you to go make disciples. I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to be there with you. I'm not going to give you any strength or courage or understanding or wisdom or knowledge. No, you just go do it the best you can. Good luck. No, that would be complete foolishness. There would be no disciples ever made. But God has equipped us. And so the question is, will you use His equipment? Or are you using the equipment that God has supplied? So I think that success in spiritual terms isn't based on what you can get your hands on. Rather, it's based on how faithful you are to the work. I was, several years back, a runner. I ran in a lot of 6-mile races, 15.5-mile races, even ran a marathon once. That was an experience I won't ever forget. But when I ran the marathon, what they did was they made us run out this road around the coast of Lake Michigan. We got to a point 13.5 miles out, we just turned right around and came back the same road. So as I'm running out, here come the first place guys. They're already coming back into the home stretch. I'm not even halfway yet, you see. And so these guys coast in, finish the race. It took me 4 hours and 40 minutes or something like that to run that far. That's a long time to run. But I finished it. I finished it. It took everything I had to finish it. Let me tell you, when I got done, I couldn't hardly even sit down. I was so tired. But in the person who ran the race, let's just say, the person who ran the race didn't improve on his time. Matter of fact, let's say the guy who took first place ran that time slower than he had ever run before. But he took first place. A fellow like me, finished it, never finished one before. Who really ran harder? Who really beat the race? You see. The swiftest. The race doesn't go to the swiftest. My point is, did you do this the best that you could? Or did you just do it to get by? It's God that gives the increase. And it's good that the increase is God, or else we might get puffed up in the work that we do. But Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7, neither he who plants is anything or he who waters is anything. Just because you go out and make disciples and teach them, that's nothing. It's nothing. Don't think you're something because that's what you do. God's word says, the one who plants is not anything, the one who waters isn't anything. God's the one who gives the increase. And if it wasn't God who gave the increase, we might get all puffed up, you see, and start bragging about what I've done. What I've done. Verse 9, he goes on to say, for we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test each one's work to see what it's made of. That's interesting. The gold, silver, and precious stones don't burn. Wood, hay, and stubble won't last. The work that we build upon this foundation, that is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. But Jesus said in Matthew 7, those who hear my words and do them are like a man who built his house on a firm foundation, and when the winds blew, his house stood. Then he went on to say, those who hear my words and don't do them, like the foolish man, built his house on the sand, and when the storms came, it didn't last. Well, the same thing here. If we don't build on that foundation of Jesus Christ, how we build is as important that as if we build. How we build. Now, that work that we're doing, that fulfilling the mission of Jesus Christ, is what I believe he's talking about here. That final day is going to declare what sort of work we have done. And those whose work amount to gold, silver, and precious stones, those three fireproof items, those people are going to receive a reward. It matters how we build. Those who have not won't receive a reward. Like the individual who says, I have introduced tens of thousands of people to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you love to be able to say that? I have introduced tens of thousands. And so this individual is kind of basking in his own success. Look at how many I have done. Well, my question is, like this fella who finished that marathon race, first place ahead of me, did you run as hard as you could? Did you beat the race, or did you just finish it? Because this person who says, I have introduced tens of thousands, I would ask, maybe it should have been hundreds of thousands that you should have introduced. That's the problem when numbers get into it. When we get a distorted idea of success, look at the numbers, our faithfulness deteriorates. It suffers. I think we need to have this attitude. First of all, I will be faithful to my mission today. The mission that Jesus Christ has given to his disciples, go out and make disciples, I am going to be faithful to that mission today. Or I am going to be faithful to that mission at work. I am going to be faithful in that mission in this conversation, in this prayer, with this person. The Lord has laid two people in front of me, two individuals in front of me. Now I have the decision. I can make the choice. Am I going to be faithful to what God has opened up to me personally? Or do I just write it off? Well, I invited them to church. They didn't come. Oh, well, so much for that. No, I couldn't say that. I could take that lax attitude, but that would not be faithful to the mission. The mission that Jesus has called us to does not necessarily mean that it's always going to be easy and it's going to just happen. But it's not the numbers. We kind of pointed to this in Sunday school class, alluded to it a little bit. It's not the numbers. If you look around, there's not a lot of people here. But is that a bad thing? I don't think so. I don't think we can let the numbers rule us. You determine you're going to be faithful to that mission every day, no matter where you are, who you're talking to, or what you're doing. You're going to be faithful to that mission, and we can let the numbers take care of themselves. Don't even have to worry about it. Don't have to. Because we don't serve a quota. I was a salesman. I had a quota. And as soon as I hit that quota, you know what I did? Took it easy. Told everybody, hey, got the quota. See what? I'd take it easy because I met the goal that was set. We don't serve quotas. We serve a risen, victorious Lord that says, I want you to be faithful all of the time. All of the time. Vince Lombardi, remember him? The old Green Bay Packer football coach. This quote has been misquoted. I'll start it, you finish it. Winning isn't everything. Okay, that's the misquote. His quote is, winning isn't everything, but making the effort to win is. I talked with a young boy a couple of weeks back who had just joined on to the wrestling team, and I said, you know, there's going to be some times you'll get into a wrestling match and you're going to lose. You're not going to have enough points to beat the person you're wrestling. But I said, don't let that defeat you. You go out and you know that you wrestled to the best of your ability the entire match, and until the referee called an end to it, he didn't beat you. You wrestled well and learned something from it. But if you give up, you let him beat you, that's not being faithful. That's not being faithful to yourself. That's not doing the best all the time. Like Vince Lombardi said, if you make the effort to win always, if you make that effort to win always, you're going to. Sooner or later, you're going to. And I know that there have been people who have talked to me about, well, I've invited so-and-so to church, or I've asked so-and-so to whatever, and they say no. And I say, keep asking. Find somebody new. Keep asking. Don't give up. Don't quit. Because when you give up, you let the other side win. We need to be faithful all the time to that mission that Jesus has given to us. There's another little story. I really like this one. But there was a young naval cadet at West Point. Annapolis. West Point. Annapolis. And he was called into the commandant's office for an interview because he was graduating. And the commandant, this was his traditional thing, he'd call the cadets in and just chat with them a bit to see what's up with them. So the commandant's sitting in this massive office. It's very intimidating, and this cadet walks in and sits down. And in the conversation, the commandant says, "Son, you've been here in Annapolis all these years. Have you always, and I mean always, have you always tried your best?" Well, this young cadet's sitting back there, and he's thinking, now this man didn't just get off the ship. He's been around. He knows. He's wise, and I know I can't lie to him. So the cadet says, "Well, no, sir, I didn't." Because he figured that would be the honest thing to do. "Well, no, sir, I didn't." The commandant shifted in his chair a bit, looked at this young cadet, got very serious on his face, and he simply asked him, "Why not? What would keep you from doing your best? Fatigue? Boredom? Your interest shifts to something else?" But it's a very difficult question to answer. Why haven't you tried your best? Well, as this story came to me, that young cadet was John Kennedy. Maybe from that point on he decided to try his best. We don't know. But in order to build upon that foundation, which is Jesus Christ, with gold, silver, and precious stone, we need to do our best, be faithful all the time. We need to be willing to make the effort to be faithful. And the numbers will take care of themselves. Have you identified the thing that keeps you idle? As far as kingdom work is concerned, have you identified the thing that keeps you idle? I want you to take time to do that prayer. Ask God to reveal to you what it is in your life that keeps you from being busy about the Lord's work. And I'm going to be brave enough right now to say that whatever it is, whatever it is that keeps you from doing the Lord's work is a lie, and it is deceit. It isn't true only because you make it true it is. But it is a lie and deceit because there is absolutely nothing in this world that can keep you from doing God's work unless you decide you aren't going to do it. And here's a pretty good excuse. You can overcome whatever it is. I know you can. I know you can. Whatever it is that's keeping you idle, as far as the kingdom work is concerned, you can overcome. Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given to me. And I'm with you, always, even to the end of the age." I believe that. You believe that? You believe that, there is nothing that can keep us quiet unless we choose to be quiet. Because Jesus is with us. You know, it is a matter of honor for Him to see you succeed. Whatever you need, He'll give you so that you can succeed, so that you can be faithful in that work that He gives to us. So I'd urge you to pray and ask God what it is. And once that's revealed to you, if you need to have some more help, come and see me. I'll be glad to help you. Father, as we consider all the possibilities that we can engage in every activity that this world offers, that today offers, that this coming week offers, we pray that you would help us to be determined to pick the activities, Father, that best display our faithfulness to the mission that you have given us. We need to have your constant guidance. We pray, Father, for the course corrections that are necessary in our lives. We, Father, want to be considered faithful, and we're willing to run and work. Be faithful so that we can hear that voice, well done. Bless us, Father, as we leave this place. Bless those that we come into contact with. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.